Hey everyone, I wanted to give a little bit of material for the upcoming Rosh Hashanah, and the thing that I wanted to do probably the most was just underline a hanhaga that we've had in my family now for a number of years, and that is I try to keep a list of certain hashkach things that happened over the year that I saw, and I try to give a couple of those highlights over the first night of Rosh Hashanah, because the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech HaOlam and is Mashgiach kind of works very nicely with those themes. So I just wanted to add a ha'ara that I found one of my children, my 9-year-old, over this past year, also started collecting a little book of his stories. So these are the sorts of things that can have a hashpa'ah when they see that you're kind of involved in it. So if you didn't do it this year and you can't remember any, this is always a good time to try to make a new commitment to start. So just a potential thought and a consideration. A second comment that I thought would be worthwhile in sharing is dogs. This is the dogs of war. I thought it's a nice way to say it. I was thinking this morning about Shlomo Melech, and I've spent a lot of time over the last couple of years learning Koheles and Mishlei. And to my knowledge, in the Ksavim of Shlomo Melech, he talks about animals a lot. If you look at the end of Mishlei, he talks about how each animal kind of has its thing that it does. He talks about lions. He talks about ants. You remember that from Mishlei. He talks about different kinds of birds and all kinds of other things. But he only talks, to my knowledge, about a dog twice. And one says in Mishlei where it says, Kelev shav al keo, kein avil hashona avil to. He says that just like a dog, which is unintelligent enough to learn from its mistakes, so it will eat something that upsets its stomach, it will then vomit, and then it will proceed to re-eat that vomit. And he says that that same sort of pattern is somebody who does a aveira. Hopefully they realize that that's, you know, It's tuma. It's terrible. It's all the horrible, the most worst things in the world. It's lost potential. It's everything, and then they do it again. So the dog is short-sighted, small-minded, loses focus. All of these things, dumb as a dog. But if you look in Sefer Koheles, he adds an additional point. He says, Yavu Hayomim, when he talks about at the end, he says, you know, you better do tshuva. He says that you better do it before, you know, the clock is up, before you're going to die. And he describes very, very vividly the deterioration of a human. And it's actually quite humbling and somewhat grotesque when you really think about it. And he says, you better get this done before hayomim she'en bahem chayfetz, before the days where you don't really want anymore. So normally what that is understood to mean is towards the end of one's life, people start checking out well before they're actually gone. In fact, the Alshich has a whole description that the neshama starts leaving the goof, something along the lines of 30 days before somebody's niftar min olam. So the checking out process, sometimes it's very visible amongst people of a mature age, and saying you have to do tshuva before you die, because once you die, you won't have a chance to do tshuva anymore. So the Ramban in this week's Parsha says, Umal Hashem es levavcha, and we discussed this in the Super Tatis for the Parsha, and one of the lines he says, he gives a drush, a way to understand what it means, Asher yavo ayamim she'en b'hem chayfetz. And the way that he understood it was, remember, before the Chet Adam Arishon, man was Yoshar. Everything was right. And after the Chet, all of a sudden, he got all mixed up, and he started going in the wrong path, and the Yitzhahara got the best of him. And, you know, things started getting to the order that we're much more familiar with. So, what does that mean to say? He says, the Yomim Sha'in Behem Chayfetz. Well, he says the concept is, Bimosa Mashiach, the Yetzirah is going to be taken away again. And he brings Pesukim from Yirmiyahu and Yecheskel and whatnot. And he says that we're going to get a Lev Chodosh, and we're going to go back to the way that we were. And that means like we were before the chet of Adam HaRishon, which means that the Yetzer Hara won't be sholei. And the yamim asher ein bahem chifetz means that those are the days where we're going to not really have the challenge of the Yetzer Hara anymore. And I want to highlight here that there's Shlomo Melech in a glorious example of double entendre is talking about tshuva miyira and tshuva miahava all at the same time. When he says you better do tshuva before the Yom HaDin comes, that's tshuva miyira. That's one thing. And when he says, you know, you better do tshuva before the Yetzer Hara is taken away from you, that's another thing. What's the idea there? The idea is that while we have the Yetzer Hara, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us an opportunity to make a Kiddush Hashem, gives us an opportunity to bring more Kiddush in the world, bring more Hakaras Hashem, bring Bimarba B'chavod Shamayim, because we're able to go beyond what we want and subordinate our interests for the interests of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And because of that, that's a huge kavod to the Ribbono Shel Olam, but it can only be done when we have an actual test, and when we actually have that Yetzer Hara. So the idea of Tshuva Me'ava, and this idea is saying, look, you know, there's going to be a day where you're no longer going to feel those challenges, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave this Yetzer Hara to you as an opportunity for you to subordinate that Yetzer Hara, or channel that Yetzer Hara toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'mar B'chvod Shamayim, and that is an opportunity that cannot be lost. And I think that that's a beautiful spin for us, as we are hopefully introspecting properly. And I've had children talk to me. They say, hey, well, what can I change? What can I do? And I think that instead of feeling terrible about oneself, I think we need to say, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me this. He gave me this nisayon, so I can turn this into gold. Gold for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And I have that opportunity, and it cannot be squandered before the Yamim She'ein Behem Chifetz. So that was kind of something that really, really got me about the idea of Tshuva Mi'ahava. And the last thing I want to share is for those who have the minig of doing Tashlich, you will see the prominence of the Pasuk in Micha, which is in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Ches, which is Mikel Kamocha, and that's the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, that parallels the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim that we often say. And it's almost like a remez to the tshuva that occurs on Rosh Hashanah, which is kind of under the current. On the one hand, it's a day where there's a Hava Mina to say Halal. On the other hand, it's the first 2 days of the Asaras Yemei Tshuva. And all the discussions about whether we say Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha, like should we even go that far? So the Tomer Devora, the first parak, people tend to learn during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, but I want to mention it now so it prepares those of us who are saying those psukim at Tashlich to at least have a little bit more of a saga of how Rabbi Cordovero goes about it. So I'm going to just do that. I'll give you a quick synopsis of what he says, and maybe these are things that we can share a little bit. And a lot of these could go very, very deep, but I'm going to just give you a little bit so we have some background. So for the purposes of Halach to be drachov, we have this pasuk to show us how to imitate the Ribbono Shel Olam. Mikel Kamocha, who is strong like you. Since Hashem renews creation on a daily basis, He kindly gives life to even people who are reshaim, even though they don't deserve it. And that shows extreme strength. That's kale and patience. And that instructs us to do the same. Meaning, there's this pasuk in Mishle that says, you know, don't do everything asher yesh lekel yadcha la'asos, that you can do, that you have the strength to do. And there's a beautiful radak by the story of Sarah and Hagar. He says there's nothing really much more beautiful, and this is, we'll see this on Rosh Hashanah in the Kriyas HaTorah, nothing really more beautiful than somebody who has power and can hold it back. Next, Nosei Avon. Since each avera creates a mashchis or a kategor, a accuser, that mashchis would normally be sustained by killing or giving kares to the person who did the avera. But Hashem sustains the mashchis, or he puts it aside, until one does tshuva, gives you time, or you die, or you get yisurim, and that's instructive for us to show how patient we should be, meaning Kadosh Baruch Hu is basically deterring and deferring that nosei avon, that mashchis. Over al pesha, Hashem himself cleans up the avera. Any parents out there, you know how revolting it is to clean up after somebody else, and the children probably realize occasionally that it's revolting for the parents, you know, and that they should feel embarrassed and ashamed when the parents cleaning up after them. So we can't say that we're unable to remedy anything. And moreover, we should be embarrassed when we do an avera, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who cleans it up. We should clean up our own mess. L'sheiris nachalaso. Hashem treats us like a family. That's the sheiris nachalaso. He treats us like the family to the extent that he says, how could I punish them? They're my family. Similarly, we're supposed to treat every Jew as family, since we are literally intertwined with our neshamos, and moreover, we should love each other, want the best for each other, guarantee the best for each other, and appreciate that, like, when we have a minion of 10 men, we are cosmically intertwined, regardless of whether the guy is standing next to you, davening loud, and completely annoying your davening. It doesn't matter. Lo chazik le'adapo. Hashem doesn't stay angry long, but instead he waits for somebody to do tshuva, like even for Yeruvim. Similarly, when we have a right to give tochacha to a friend, but know it's going to hurt them, we hold back because the mitzvah, we have special mitzvahs for a sone more than an ohev, like the mitzvah of priku te'ina, right? Or just prika. It's based on the hatred of others for those who had sinned, and not people who are baseless. You know, it's not like sinas chinam. It's when we see, I don't like this guy for a good reason. Ki chafetz chesed hu. So he quotes here the Pardes Rimonim, and he says there's a special heichal, a special chamber or area where the chassidim are stored, and when a person is being prosecuted, those chassidim are brought out and the person is spared. Indeed, the kruvim, they have outstretched hands to show that they are enough, that they are doing chesed, pardon me, for each other. And similarly, we should be doing good for others. It is enough for me that, and you just say in your head, like, it's enough for me that this person does something. Like, you know, your wife, say she's having a bad day, she's treating you, said, yeah, but it's enough. She's raising my children and doing such a great job. Yashuv yirachamenu. When a person does tshuva, Hashem doesn't hold any grudges, but instead he gets closer to that person. And similarly, we should treat people doing tshuva with us on a greater standing than they had been beforehand. Yichbosh avonoseinu. Hashem does not allow averos to be misgaber like mitzvos in front of him. Similarly, we don't withhold good, and we do withhold bad, and we don't do like a tit for tat sort of calculation. V'tishlach b'mitzulas yam kol chatosam. So this addresses why Sancheriv and Paro were punished if they were doing Hashem's will. Hashem punishes those who rightly punish Bnei Yisrael, because after Bnei Yisrael accepted the punishment and the Yisurim is accepted as part of the process, Hashem is comforted and wants to punish the messengers. Similarly, we should not be upset with a person who is being punished. Rather, he's like our brother. Titein emes liyakov. With respect to Beinonim, who operate by truth and shuras hadin, Hashem treats them with truth and is merachem with yosher. Similarly, we should operate in yosher and truth. Chesed la'avram. Says he gives chesed la'avram with respect to exceptional individuals who operate lifni mishras adin. Hashem gives them kindness lifni mishras adin, beyond the letter of the law. Similarly, we should try to be particularly lifni mishras adin with those who operate like that normally and try to be friends with them. Asher nishba la'avosenu. Hashem is kind to the unseemly, since they are the descendants of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Similarly, we should have special rachmanis on the unseemly, as they also are descendants of the Avos. Last one, Mimei Kedem. Once the zechus of Avos is exhausted, Hashem looks back at all the zechuyos of the earlier days, like Zachardi lach chesed neurayich, and this midah encapsulates all of the midos. Similarly, we should look back at better times when people operated nicer, and be it at a time right before they did an avera, or even as their innocence when they were children or infants, meaning to say everybody has something good about them that we can look at. All we have to do is think about it. I wish everybody a ksiva v'chasima tova. Thank you for being a wonderful olam and a machayev. And I wish only the best for you and your families and all of Klal Yisrael.